Sermonettes can get longer. No, I won't. I'll try not to. Now, I want to begin this evening by reading from a 1982 Good News article by Art Doc entitled, and believe me, I did not realize what this title would mean this year so far. The title was, "But What If Everything Goes Wrong?" You notice our screen has a couple bed sheets because it's broken. You know, we've had some issues out there with the breakfasts, people trying to check in. Satan's going to do everything he can. So keep that in mind. But I'll read this. I quote, "The barracks was long, a narrow room with a door at one end. And every window, and a single window was at the other end. The bare, unpainted wooden walls, they were worn. There were splintered floorboards, made this room as inviting as a county jail. Ancient cots, around 10 to 15 of them, sat perpendicular to the wall. Equally aged pads served for mattresses and a single threadbare blanket laid on each bed to be used to ward off the near-freezing night chill. What belongings the occupants possessed were hung from nails driven into the wall. The common toilet was in another building down the muddy street. The shower room was on the other; it was in the other direction. The floor and one wall of the shower was made of concrete. Out of the wall protruded several pipes in which poured water at one temperature, cold. Of course, there was no heat in any of the rooms." Mr. Dawkins said, "Sounds like a prisoner of war camp." He commented, "A young man who lived under these conditions wrote to our home office in Manila, Philippines, some years ago and described his feelings during his days at that camp. The young man wrote, 'I thank God for making it possible for me to attend the Feast of Tabernacles.' In that letter, he went on to describe that this was the first time he had ever slept in a real bed. This is the first time that he had ever used a shower. This was the first time he had ever eaten three balanced meals in one day. It was the first time. Excuse me, I lost my place here. It was the first time that he fellowshiped with God's people. First time in that group singing psalms, hearing a choir singing praises to God, or listen to a minister of God preach a sermon. This young man was describing his first Feast of Tabernacles at Baguio City, Philippines. The drab barracks, the cold showers, the sparse meals, the rather inexperienced choir, and even the speakers were all something rare and wonderful to him. The young man concluded by declaring, 'Now I know what the world tomorrow will be like. I can imagine how wonderful it will be.'" Hits you right in the heart, don't it? Especially when everything's going wrong. Here we are sitting here in this building while we have a family, not knowing if their child's going to live. Probably wouldn't even make it to the feast this year. But hearing these words change our perspective about the gift of being at God's feast. You know, when I read those words a few months ago, they inspired me to step back and stop in that preparation. This is my 47th feast. And I ask myself, what is my perspective? Not just now, but when everything is going to go wrong. And there's been a lot that's going wrong. Moments like that make me think of anamorphic art. Anyone familiar with anamorphic art? Anamorphic art is when you walk up to this section, a display, and it looks like a random bunch of just things piled upon each other in a weird, out-of-order scenario. But with the proper instructions, everything comes into focus. And you see from the artist's perspective. It paints a picture. It's a wonderful piece of artwork. Usually when you come up on one of those areas or in a museum, there's a plaque that says, "Stand here. Stand here. View from this perspective, and it will change what you see. In fact, it will change what you experience." We have that plaque right here, looking at God's wonderful feast. We have those words, His own words, in giving us these instructions. And when we heed His word, when His word becomes our guide, we get His perspective for what he wants his people to come before him and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We gain an orientation, a direction to keep us going forward, in which, in return, when we do it God's way, it will reveal the goodness that our God wants to just bestow upon us, bestow upon his people who have gathered. He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to be filled. He wants us to be rejuvenated. We've been beat down enough. He wants us to be happy. So how can we? I'm looking at a room of veterans, a 60-something year ministry veteran. How can we, new and veterans alike, ensure that we have that proper perspective? How we can keep that perspective and orientation while we're here at the feast in Cincinnati, Ohio? How can we do that? How can we honor our God? How can we glorify our God and receive exactly what he brought us here to receive? Let's turn back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8, and we'll find that answer. Nehemiah 8, I'm going to just start reading for a second time. Nehemiah 8, as you know, Nehemiah, Ezra is there. He's teaching the people. In verse 1, it says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man. We've come as one body." We're here together, not separate, but together. They gathered in that open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which was the Lord, that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, and on the first day of the seventh month. We know that was not too long ago when we came to the Feast of Trumpets. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. About a 5 to 6 hour sermon. Boy, they were tired. I bet they got bored, right? He said he did this before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Not saying, "Oh, when's that pastor going to shut up?" This was captivating. This was God's instruction. They were hearing his word. Verse 5, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. When he opened it, all the people stood up." It got their attention. This was something very special. Verse 8, "So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and gave them sense." All the men who were there teaching helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest, and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people, said to them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God." And he says, "Don't mourn, don't weep." It touched them. They realized what they have been missing, but they understand the gravity of the situation. He says, "For all the people wept when they heard these words of the law." Then he said to them, verse 10, "Come on, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those who have nothing." And he says, "For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." You got the instructions. You got the perspective. I've given you an orientation. Go. Go do these things. Verse 14. You know, they keep going down. He goes, "And then they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast in the seventh month." Wow, they come to this time. They haven't run away from the word of God. They're back. They want to hear this. Verse 17. "So the whole congregation of those who have returned from the captivity made booths. They sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until the day the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a sacred ceremony according to the prescribed manner." What an exciting time. What an exciting time. Nehemiah describes a time of great gladness. Yes, there was physical rejoicing. However,
We just read this. There was something else they experienced that was so impactful to them. It touched them. Something that moved them so deep. They wanted to show respect. It captivated them, and they stood in awe. And that was the hearing of the word of God. They wanted God's perspective. They yearned for it. This hearing and the taking of that word wasn't just a one-time event. Nehemiah recorded that it would take place day by day during the entire Feast of Tabernacles. In fact, just what we read in verse 1, receiving that word first set the tone of the entire fall festival season. That word, the instructions from our God, it changed the perspective. It was that word that set the orientation for the stage to experience a time of very great gladness. Each one of us has that opportunity. You and I have spent a year since the last feast wanting to be back here. We spent a lot of time preparing to be here as God commanded. But now that we are here, what will keep us oriented day by day, and what's going to be our motivation to rejoice before our God? Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." It's complete. It's converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That fear, the reverence, everything, how we see our God, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than that of gold. Yes, that of fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Our God has something very special for us this week. Yes, the physical things, they're exciting. I'm looking forward to it. We should all desire to take it in, but it should be less in comparison to this great spiritual blessing that our God is offering us day by day. Because there's great joy. There's great joy in the communion we share as a koinonia, the fellowship of God, that we share with our Father, with our elder brother, when we pray, when we meditate, when we study. There's great joy coming together in this fellowship as the family of God to receive the instruction God is eager to give us each day in His called assembly. It's in this fellowship, it's in this environment of His Word that our joy will be ignited. It will be ignited, and our hearts will stand in awe when we hear these words. And that joy, we'll walk out these doors, and that joy will be manifested in what we set our hearts to do. Because God gave us perspective. God gave us the orientation. What else is there here in Cincinnati that we'll receive that has that much power to make our hearts rejoice, standing in awe? It's His Word. It connects us to Him. It's what's going to inspire us to experience great gladness. We have been extended the honor, a great honor, an invitation at the request of our God to come and present ourselves before Him in this place that He has placed His name to worship, to rejoice. We get to bless our God. We get to bless the God who has blessed us, and we get to express that deep respect and love and reverence we have, not just for him, but for our King, our soon coming King. You see, when we intentionally put God and His will first, He will keep us properly oriented every day of this week. When we intentionally put God's will at the center of everything we do, He will get the glory and the doors of His treasury will open up to His people with the abundance that only God can supply. Only God can supply. We then will truly rejoice and be filled with our heart's desire. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." As we seek to honor our God first this week, just imagine the goodness that you and I will taste. The goodness that we will experience. Because He will make this feast a feast to remember. It's definitely not your coordinator. I know the guy. He's not that bright. It's not the food. It's not going to be the activities. It's going to be God. It's going to be our God. It will truly be a feast of ingathering, a feast of fat things, a feast of sweet things. It will be a feast that will reignite our vision, reminding us that no matter what we have now, the best is still yet to come. You know, if that is our perspective this year, we will be able to leave here in 8 days and declare, "Now I know. Now I know what the world tomorrow will be like. I can imagine how wonderful it will be."